Good afternoon, and welcome into the Thursday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Storm edition, Florence edition here, as we sit here and watch the Weather Channel to see if this dude gets blown off this dock into the water. I love it. I get it. It's television. You got to have your reporters wearing the weather jacket standing in the wind in a hurricane, right? No choice. We can't just show pictures of the wind. We have to have our guy out there, right?
Because nobody believes it without video.
Right.
Right? You can't. You got to have somebody there.
He's almost gone a couple times. He's in Morehead City, North Carolina, gusting 47 miles an hour now.
Listen, I'm not rooting for this. Not really. But it's
going to. Oh, yes, you are. That's why you're watching it.
It's going to happen.
It's pretty close. Now, he's several feet from the edge. Did he step forward a little bit?
He did. Because he took a step back and almost stepped in. He's got some sort of lockbox behind him, and he's almost stepped on. That's what I'm worried about. He's going to step on that. He's going into the water if it happens.
Yeah, that's one of those storage bins where you put your life jackets and all that stuff on out on docks. And he's been on there for 10 minutes. That's all they're showing is this guy standing on the dock, bracing against the wind here. Florence is a Category 2 storm right now. Wind speed's 105 miles an hour. So, yes, it has slowed down. But the rain is still coming in buckets, and the track still uncertain. The thing is brushing the coast of North Carolina right now. The outer edges of it are hitting the Outer Banks right now, Hatteras, all the Ocracoke, all that area. Still off the coast of South Carolina. They're getting some rain down in the Myrtle Beach area, but nothing too major there just yet. I was looking at wind gust reports, already getting wind gust in Fayetteville of 26 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour in Raleigh. And the thing's not even here yet. And the question is, does it just sit there right off the coast and churn for a while? It's moving at 10 miles an hour right now, but has slowed down. And, then the question is, which model do you follow? Do you follow the Europeans? Or which spaghetti do you choose? Which strand of spaghetti will you choose? More importantly, which strand will Florence choose? And will it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what we choose, right? What is Flo going to do?
Yeah, is it going to slide down the South Carolina coast before coming inland? And, we here in the upstate are still in the projected path of this thing. The question is simply how much punch will be left by the time it gets here, but both of those main models have it coming our way.
They do, yes. I'm not sure how much variation once it actually hits landfall coming up to the upstate, if there's that really big of a difference.
Even with the lesson, there's a chance of it dropping a lot of rain on us.
No question about that.
Bad for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how bad the winds will be. Latest projections say maybe 30 miles an hour, a little more than that up here, but first of all, that could change, but lots of rain. Right after we got off the air yesterday, Ray Tanner canceled the South Carolina game with Marshall on Saturday night. We thought they might move it to noon. Obviously, that was a consideration, but he said that they thought the right thing to do, given resources and the forecast and so forth, was to just not play the game. So, South Carolina will try to reschedule a game, whether it be with Marshall or someone else. They have an open date on October 20th, so they can try to match up with who else is open. And a bunch of teams are open that day. A bunch of teams are open every week. So they can try to match up with one of those teams. Another option is to play that first Saturday in December, the day of the SEC championship game, which they will not be in. They're pretty safe.
You're calling that shot right now.
Pretty safe that you can say they're available on that first Saturday in December. And they could possibly play Marshall then, because Marshall's not playing that day either. So that's a possibility. All that's up in the air. But they said they would like to get that 12th game on the schedule. And so we'll see. They've got some time to try to figure that out. Clemson is playing at 12 noon. They moved the game up from 3:30 to noon. We told you that yesterday on the show. As it turns out, the Clemson Tigers will be the only college football team playing in South Carolina on Saturday. How about that? Furman canceled. Told you that yesterday. Coastal played yesterday. Citadel Charleston Southern canceled. South Carolina canceled. Wofford's playing out in Wyoming, so not an issue there. So Clemson is the lone holdout. So what do you think about that?
I think some Clemson fans would say that's true every week.
We're the only team in South Carolina anyway, right? Well, we put up a Twitter poll yesterday afternoon, and 211 people have voted in this. Should Clemson play their game? Simple yes or no. What do you think? Have you looked at it?
I have not looked at it.
What do you think? So now, keep in mind that these are followers of ESPN Upstate on Twitter, so we know they're sports fans. We know a lot of them are Clemson fans, but not all of them. But we can pretty much assume they're all not just casual, off-the-street people. They're sports fans because they're following us, right? What do you think? How do you think that vote went? Should they play or should they not play?
I say it's going to be 70-30 that they should play.
I'm going to say they say no, and no, I haven't looked either.
They say no. 55% say no. 55-45, Clemson should not play.
Yeah. Well,
sports fans now.
They're right in line with me because
you don't think they should play.
I don't think they should play either.
Yeah.
Especially even now, the optics. With everybody else canceling, Furman canceled classes today and tomorrow, which I think that is a little bit extreme. But the point is that I don't think there's any reason to necessarily play this game this weekend. See if you can make it up. And, I mean, it's not an imperative type of situation. And I just think the optics, it looks bad.
You really have to care about optics?
You do and don't, yes. And I know that's waffling and I'm, you know, on the fence, so to speak. But I think you do to a certain degree. And especially in such a sensitive situation from this perspective, because you're pulling personnel away from potentially helping other people, and you're
we think the weather will be fine Saturday at noon. Maybe a 20% chance of rain, but it's not really going to get here until Saturday night, Sunday.
But that's the weather might be fine in Clemson,
right?
But could personnel be pulled to help out in other areas of the state where we know the weather?
Well, that's what Ray Tanner talked about with his decision in Columbia. Also, a part of it in Columbia was to free up the hotel rooms that, you know, fans might use, that Colgate. I thought Colgate coming into Greenville, I thought this was pretty cool what they did. They were coming in to play Furman. Of course, that was canceled. They gave up their hotel rooms. Those rooms are now available for those coming inland. They still bought the meals they were going to have and asked that the hotel serve those meals to people who've been relocated.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's
cool, that is awesome.
That's fantastic. That's the beauty of sports at times.
I like that.
Yes, that's why we love college football. That's why we love sports.
Yeah, and there has to be a line, and it doesn't have to be a state border, by the way. There has to be a line where we play some of these games, right? I know it's the only game in South Carolina, and the North Carolina games pretty much have been canceled. There may be a game or two somewhere, like, I don't know if Western's playing at home, but the main games in North Carolina were called off early.
That's right, they
in
have
the week
been.
Because it looked like it was going that way, and now it's going to affect North Carolina, but it's supposed to turn into South Carolina. But, you know, how far out do you go from the storm canceling games, I guess? And does it have anything to do with state borders? It probably shouldn't, because the hurricane doesn't stop at a state line. So, you know, Clemson's in the far northwest corner of South Carolina. Is it okay that they're not canceling their game? Now, one factor in that has to be that there are state resources. There's a South Carolina Highway Patrol. South Carolina Highway Patrolman going to be at the Clemson game? I assume they will. Could they be down on the coast?
That's right. And I haven't heard anything as far as reduced law enforcement officials for the Clemson game. And you also have to, from a Georgia Southern perspective, Statesboro is not too far from Savannah. And I know it's not in the realm of the direct hit, but I think Statesboro and Savannah is going to feel some of the ramifications of this as well. And so I don't know if there's the aspect of, well, that gets people out of Statesboro, you know, gets those football players out of there, and that's another reason to play the game.
Right.
Or, you know, could you look at it, why would you pull them away from their family if they're, you know, taking measures to leave Statesboro?
I'll say this. If 55% of our sports fans who follow ESPN Upstate on Twitter say don't play the Clemson game, then I would imagine that if you went out and took a general public vote, it'd be more like 80%.
I would agree.
Play, right?
Yes. Right. That's why I was surprised by that number, just because of what you mentioned, that is sports fans. I thought that they would be more of, hey, we've seen enough of the weather report, let's play and go out and get after it.
Yeah, if you look at it that simply, how's the weather going to be at noon Saturday in Clemson, South Carolina? Then, yeah, you play. Yeah. But it's not that simple.
And it might not be raining necessarily, but I did see the forecast in terms of it could still have winds of 30 miles per hour.
On game time at Clemson.
On game time at Clemson, yeah. So, I mean,
just lean on the running game.
Exactly.
Yeah. You might want to call about that and let us know what you think. should Clemson have canceled this game? Obviously, they have made the decision to stick to this because it was announced today the game will be televised on ESPNU. And so if they were considering changing their minds on this, I don't think they would have announced that, right? ESPNU broadcast pretty much tells you game on.
I think game on, yes. Yeah. That was your confirmation that they're going to play at noon.
Yeah. Florence expected to crawl along the coast of the Carolinas through Friday. They expect catastrophic flash flooding, major river flooding. There will be a life-threatening storm surge near landfall for some time after landfall as well. Hurricane force winds arriving tonight into Friday on the coast. Tropical storm force winds arriving as soon as today. And they say the remnants of Florence will linger in parts of the east into early next week. Again, the big rain day, according to the forecast, unless and until it changes for us, is Sunday. Sunday, coming in Saturday night, and Sunday's just kind of a big wet mess here, and we'll see how strong the winds are, but we definitely expect the rain to be here on Sunday. And, you know, maybe we get some more decisions as this storm moves in and they get a better idea of where the path is headed on some other games. But that's where it stands right now. 844-477-3776. You can text us on the Health Dare text line at 71307. Delvin wants to talk about this first. Let's get him on here. Hi, Delvin.
Hey, guys, how you doing? First of all, you said the wind would run that. Maybe they help Georgia Southern keep getting close. They like to run the ball, so you never know. It could be their benefit.
But it ain't going to be close, Delvin.
I think that's a logistics as well. You know, Columbia is close to Charleston, and you might need all the emergency help crews from Columbia on down. Well, then at Clemson, you know, like you said, where they located at. So that's probably one of the reasons why they, you know, keeping the game on. And Columbia, they had the people down in Charleston with all the emergency crews, and they're close to Charleston. That's probably one of the reasons as well.
I mean, I get it that Columbia's closer, but as I said, we have one South Carolina Highway Patrol, and they can dispatch people wherever they want to dispatch them, right? As my understanding, they can do that. And so some of them will obviously have to be up here taking care of business with Clemson. They played Notre Dame 2 years ago. I was over there for that. Did you go to that game?
I did. I was there.
That big washout. And it was a state of emergency that day. Appreciate the call, Delvin. It was a state of emergency that day in that Notre Dame game. But I think that was kind of a last-minute surprise that it got as bad as it did, as I recall. It wasn't projected to be as bad as it was, and they played that game, and it was a night game.
It was a night game. Yes,
yeah,
it was.
And it was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad,
that.
And they stayed and played, and, of course, they had to have – I think they did that with fewer than normal troopers and the like guiding traffic, and it was obviously a packed house, and everybody got out of there, right? You know, everything
– As far as I know, I don't remember hearing any
The thing that happened on that, I think there was a plane crash related to that, some people flying back out from that game.
That's right. I remember that, you know, yes.
I don't think that was weather-related, but
it
anyway.
It was not. That's right.
So, you know, it's so unpredictable. And I feel for the officials that have to do this, and I get how difficult this decision is. But Clemson's going to take some heat for playing the game. They just are.
They are. And that's why, I mean, I know you asked the question, do you have to worry about optics? And you do, because they are going to take some heat on this. There'll be people talking about this.
Yep. No question. They already are. You see that. And, you know, some fans of opposing fan bases will use it and you know, make it about that. And I get that. But anyway, they're sticking to it. Noon kickoff. The only game in the state of South Carolina. If you want to go see college football this Saturday, head on over to Death Valley for the Clemson game with Georgia Southern. 844-477-3776. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney talking about the game, talking about the running game he's trying to get going for the Tigers, Tavian Feaster and others, when we come back. So stay with us. Just underway here, the Thursday Huddle. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Her daddy just got married, right? Did I see that?
Again? I don't know.
There's some video going around about him coming into his wedding to some song or something.
I did not see that.
Today? I think he just got married. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times he's been married. I would assume again, yes.
At least two, right?
More than a few.
Probably more than two, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, I think so. I think Rick just got married.
You want to beat the man? I mean, you want to be the man? You got to beat the man.
Or marry the man.
Or marry the man. Yeah. That's right.
844-477-3776 here in the huddle. Off the text line at 71307. Texter asks, how does the cancellation of the USC game affect the payout to Marshall? Is there a clause in the contract? We had a call about that yesterday. I have the answer to that. Insurance. No, they will not lose their money. There is $1.3 million coming their way from the Gamecocks and $100,000 for tickets sold. So $1.4 million that is covered in an event cancellation insurance policy taken out by Conference USA. So they get their money.
Yeah.
Now, you, Marshall, would not want to cancel if they were getting their money.
Of course not. Yes, I think they would be more apt to trying to somehow make
we
that
can play.
Game up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's right. If they make it up, you know, in December or whatever, then you know, they'll get the money either way, either through insurance or a rescheduled date, right? Yeah. I'm sure the insurance company is saying, make it up, play that game, right? I'm sure they're doing that. Anyway. Don't worry about Marshall losing out on the dough. They're not going to. As Clemson prepares to play coming up on Saturday at noon against Georgia Southern, Dabo Swinney talking after practice yesterday about getting the running game going. He was specifically asked about getting the ball in the hands of Tavian Feaster, but Dabo basically brushed that aside and said, we just need more offensive plays, period.
Yeah, we want more snaps for everybody. You know, like I said the other day, that was my offense, 50-something snaps. I mean, we hit 50 snaps when I was playing. We were having a party on the sideline. We gotta get our 80-plus snaps, first of all. And, you know, I want our backs to touch the ball in that, you know, 32, 40 times, you know. And there's another 40 touches for everybody else, quarterback, tight ends, receivers, you know, whoever, or at least opportunities. You'll have some incompletes and all that type of stuff, but just opportunities. But we got to get in rhythm and play efficient, you know, and clean up some of these mistakes that we're making. Some really careless mistakes last week. The first game couldn't have gone much better. You know, very balanced with the ball, ran the ball, we did everything. We were inefficient. We're explosive, but inefficient. And last year we were very efficient, but not as explosive. So we got to kind of get it all together, and we will. We're going to grow immensely from last week. That was a great challenge for us, and a great way to teach. You know, so that's what this has been, a great week. It's been about details. It's been about improving, and about everybody taking ownership, responsibility, and pride in their performance, and consistency in their performance. So. You know, this is the next step, the next opportunity for us to see if we can get better as a team. And I'm excited to see them play. Everybody's eager to go play.
Yeah, the snap situation with Texas A&M goes back to too many three and outs, right? You just punted too much.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Texas A&M almost had 8 minutes more of possession than Clemson.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a big difference. You haven't seen that type of discrepancy for a Clemson team in quite a while.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, fortunate to win, but win they did by 2 points. So, yeah, they'll be trying to up the snaps from that, 60-ish to more like 80-ish anyway, if they can do that.
Without a doubt. And I think this is one of those things that for Clemson really to take that next step, to be the elite of the elite, like in Alabama, and I know, you know, some people try to say that Clemson is in the same category as Alabama, and I still think they've got a ways to go just because of the dominance of Alabama over the past 10 years. But to be able to get there, I think Clemson's got to get to that point where they can put these teams away like that. I mean, they could have been up 21-3 at halftime, and they were up 28-13 at one point in that game. And that's when you really got to be able to put the hammer down offensively because you just allow your defense to be out on the field too much. And these offenses are still built that they can score no matter how good a defense looks on paper.
Yeah, no question. And Dabo Swinney was asked about, you know, playing the game, not playing the game yesterday, and he gave his Dabo answers. He has nothing to do with it. You think that's true?
Not my decision.
You don't think they asked Dabo for an opinion on
it? Oh, yes, they did.
The game? I mean, he makes a lot of money. They should probably talk to him about it.
Yeah, I would think they would want to ask his opinion.
Yeah,
and
but
I guarantee
you know
he's
going
to say, let's play.
If he says he doesn't want to play, do you think
He's not going to say that.
No, but if he said that, would it matter? I don't think it would, because if they decide it's going to play, they're going to play.
Well, that's true. They want the money, for sure. And it is an AD kind of thing, and, you know, whoever else, president, whoever else.
Oh, the Board of Trustees, they all are. And yeah. I even imagine there's probably even some guys, I mean, some people outside of Clemson that are, I mean, the state of South Carolina, the governor, I mean, the South Carolina Highway Patrol, all of those are involved in this decision. So it's not just a Dabo Swinney decision. But
he's saying it had nothing to do with it. Yeah, zero.
Well, you know, he, in all reality, maybe he didn't have a final decision, but I would suspect that they had some input from Dabo.
Mm. It's probably in one meeting at least.
Yes.
In one, maybe. 844-477-3776. Bob on the line. Welcome in, Bob.
Hey, G-Mac.
Hey.
Larry, you about stole all my glory based on what I was going to say about this game. First of all, let me make the analogy, the comparison, if you will, to this game like the Wild Wild West in the early 1800s. If the marshal says there's going to be a hanging at high noon in the middle of the street, they're going to be a hanging in the middle of the street at high noon. Don't make no difference if it's raining, sleeting, whatever, the hanging's going to happen. And the reason that's going to happen is twofold. Number one, Clemson just needs more practice, and they get it. But more importantly, and this is where we stole my glory, Georgia Southern wants that paycheck. Man, they've already put that in their budget. They've already got it allocated, and they want to get the heck out from down there and get up here anyway. So I would guarantee you it's as much Georgia Southern want to play this game as us.
Well, I assume they had the same kind of insurance deal going that Marshall has on this game, and they would get paid either way. I assume that. I don't know that for a fact.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I do
they
know
all
this.
Do.
You were right about this, G-Mac. I mean, you are in the far, you know, western, northwestern corner of South Carolina. And at 12 o'clock, there's going to be no issues there for them to play that game.
Right.
And you're right about you know, the patrolmen and all. And I get all that. But if, as you also made mention of the Notre Dame game, and I wasn't there, but I watched it, and that was a freaking, it was a freak show. That's what it was. I can't believe you could play a game in that. But it was a big game, and so they played it. But it all worked out okay. And if the people left from the coast as they should have, and I think most everybody did, I don't think the patrolman kind of thing is going to be that big an issue. Matter of fact, that's the only game, as you mentioned, that's in the state of South Carolina that you can, that's going to be played. So, you know, whether they catch heat for it or not, I'm glad they're doing it, because I want to watch Clemson play. I wanted to watch South Carolina play.
Yeah.
But they're a little closer to the edge, so I get it, but I don't see a big problem.
All right, Bob, we appreciate it. By the way, Georgia is playing. They moved their game up to noon. I think it's Middle Tennessee State they play, and you know, it's not that far from Clemson to Athens. It's a different state, different resources. But I mean, Georgia's going to need some resources too, because this thing's affecting them as well. Right?
Yeah, it is coming in. As you see those models, it's heading into Athens and even down to Atlanta as well. And you see some of the maps showing possible power outages, and it even stretches down into Atlanta as well and Athens.
Yeah, no question. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's break. We'll be back with more coming up. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. You think game day should be at the Colorado State-Florida game? I can't even say it without laughing.
Yeah, I know. You started laughing immediately.
Well, you know what that is? That's a landmark game, Colorado State at Florida. It's the Jim McElwain Bowl without Jim McElwain, because he was at both places, and so there's that connection there. It's at 4 o'clock in Gainesville on Saturday. SEC Network will have it. Remember that Florida's athletic director at the time, Jeremy Foley, on November 16th, 2014, fired Will Muschamp as the head coach. That was one day after they lost to South Carolina. And Florida dropped to 5-4 on the year. They were 9-13 in their past 22 games at that point. And so they immediately targeted to replace Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain at Colorado State. because he had been around Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer and the fun and gun. They wanted all that fun and gun stuff back. And McElwain was an offensive-oriented guy. He was a lieutenant of Nick Saban. They thought he'll bring some fun back to the Florida offense. He was at Alabama when they won national championships in 2009 and 2011 as the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach. He went to Colorado State, turned them around. They had gone 3-9 every year from 2009 to 2011. By 2014, Colorado State was 10-2. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year. This was going to be a big success for Florida. Now, they had a problem. His contract at Colorado State included a $7.5 million buyout. At Colorado State, a $7.5 million buyout. So he came up with this plan to get him out of there. Foley did. Use the media. Foley turned Florida's pursuit of McElwain into the most highly publicized coaching search of its time. You know, usually all of this is very covert. You don't say anything until you announce your new coach. No, that's not what Foley did. He jumped up on the mountaintop and shouted, "I want Jim McElwain." There was plans of a flight from Gainesville to Fort Collins leaked all over the college football media landscape. Wonder who could have leaked that. Just trying to smoke it out and get rid of some of this buyout. Florida officials left McElwain's home without a deal. Florida even tweeted from their official account about the negotiations. Gators football, while the search is still going on, tweeted, "Imagine this. We've had very productive conversations with Coach McElwain and his wife, Karen, and those continue." Who would do that? Nobody. That's who. Nobody does that during a coaching search because you might get embarrassed by it. So it became a media circus. Florida acknowledged it was pursuing McElwain, but in the process, Foley showed that McElwain also wanted the Florida job. And so that continued long enough that him coming back to Colorado State was just kind of off the table. And the next day, Florida hired McElwain. All that's great, but McElwain wasn't successful. It looked like an immediate success. They did win the SEC championships his first two seasons. But those SEC championships exposed Florida. They lost 29-15 in the first one. They lost 54-16 a year later. McElwain was winning some games, but there were behind-the-scenes personality clashes. There were his crazy public statements. He talked about a lack of administrative support after the Outback Bowl win at the end of 2016. The AD then, Scott Strickland, didn't like that. 2017, they got off to a 3-3 start in a two-game losing streak in the middle of October last year. McElwain claimed that Florida fans had lobbed death threats at him and his family. Remember all of that?
I do remember that.
All of that. Well, Florida came out and did not back him up on that. They said in a statement, "Our administration met with Coach McElwain. He offered no additional details." They're saying, "What are you talking about? Tell us. If you got death threats, we want all the details." And he gave them no details. He was pressed later in the week. He didn't come up with any more proof. That Saturday, Florida went to Gainesville to face an undefeated and third-ranked Georgia team. Got crushed 42-7. And the following Sunday, the McElwain era was over. November 28th, it was reported that Florida and the McElwain camp had reached a plan to pay out their former coach an amended buyout. He got a lump sum, then a series of installments stretching out to July 1st, 2021. The final buyout amount was $7.5 million. That sounds like a familiar number there. So it was very, very complicated. And now when Florida and Colorado State meet Saturday on the college football field, Jim McElwain will be at Michigan as an assistant coach. He won't be around for all that. But you know that's going to be a major topic of discussion at that game. That's going to be one of the things that everybody's talking about, kind of a landmark game because of the complicated buyout situation and things that went on involving Jim McElwain at Florida and at Colorado State. And as it turns out, they play each other this weekend. Coastal Carolina won, by the way, yesterday in that Wednesday game over Campbell. They were big favorites. It was a close game for a while, but they pulled away at the end, and they won that 58-21. Boston College and Wake Forest coming up, I would say tonight, but it's really this afternoon. 5:30 kickoff. 5:30.
Let's get it on, right?
The good thing about that is that you can watch the college game and the pro game today because exactly. They moved the college game up.
I'm all about these earlier games.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
On our pick sheet, so.
Yeah, so we have to do our picks.
Yeah. Oh, I got to do
picks. Yeah, you should probably start thinking about it.
You see the look on Richmond's face
picks?
When I said that.
Picks?
He flinched. It was great.
Yeah. That's in Winston-Salem this afternoon at 5:30. I don't know that 2 hours made a huge difference in the weather conditions in Winston-Salem, but that's one of those decisions that they made and moved it up. So you get that. Also tonight, Old Dominion plays at Charlotte and Tennessee Tech plays at Utah State. There is one Friday game, Georgia State at Memphis. That's a 7 o'clock ESPN game on Friday. Virtually all the high school games are tonight, including the Burns-Spartanburg game here on ESPN Upstate, 6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff from Wofford College. The ones that weren't played yesterday or aren't being pushed like to Monday, I think there's one being pushed to Monday. Everything else is tonight. So high school football Thursday night here across Upstate South Carolina. And then we'll see. They're not going to play any games in the Lowcountry, so we'll see what the high school league does about all this later, how they deal with this schedule again. It's going to be another headache year for those guys. 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, the Weather Channel finally moved that guy they have standing out near the water at Moorhead City. They just moved him down the dock a little bit. Now he's standing in front of a tree, but he's still. It's like it's been an hour-long live shot.
It really has.
Every break, they come back and say, all right, get back out there. We need you again.
And he's not saying much.
Here's the thing, though. Do we know it's the same? We can't hear the audio. Do we know it's the same guy? They could have put two or three guys out there. They're not zoomed in enough to where you could actually see the guy's face.
It looks like the same guy.
I think it's the same guy. I think they have one person in Moorhead City. Maybe all the other live shots are not up and running.
He's doing what he did before. He's leaning backwards into it to show how strong it is. Now the shot's off. But I'm waiting for him to fall on his butt because it's going to happen. The gust will just die down at the wrong spot.
Do you think he's sitting out there thinking, I could have been an accountant?
Well, I want to know if he's down there by himself. Did he have to set up the camera?
Oh, he's
and
got
just
a cameraman.
On a tripod. Do you think he's got
no,
a cameraman
it
there?
No, wouldn't stay on the tripod. It's gusting 62 miles an hour already.
True. Well, how many things can you say? I know they're in his ear going, okay, be a little more interesting.
That's my point. What else can he say?
This is when we first announced we would have a 24/7 weather channel. This is what everybody said. What are you going to talk about?
And you know what? People are infatuated by the weather.
This is their day, man. It's the hurricane.
People love them some weather.
Think about what they say when nothing's happening. They love this. They're getting some tune in, including us. We flipped it off of sports to the Weather Channel today. That should tell you something. Hurricane Florence is a Category 2, 105-mile-an-hour winds, and it's right off the coast of Wilmington. The track still has it coming ashore and then dipping down into South Carolina, kind of coming across the northern half of South Carolina and coming in our direction. We'll see how much is left by the time it gets here. The rain here should be more of a Sunday event. Everything's okay for high school football tonight, even though they moved the games up a day. And looks like everything will be okay for the Clemson game with Georgia Southern at noon on Saturday. Saturday night, Sunday, going to get pretty wet, it appears, from the hurricane. By the way, Jimmy Buffett is, I don't know if he's still there. He was at Folly Beach surfing yesterday. He posted a picture on Instagram. And he quoted the lyrics to one of his songs, Surfing in a Hurricane, on his Instagram post. That's pretty cool. So Jimmy Buffett, he said, I ain't afraid of dying. I got no need to explain. I feel like going surfing in a hurricane. I'm not familiar with that Jimmy Buffett song.
Neither am I.
But that's the mindset of a lot of surfers.
Yeah, but then
he said this type of stuff.
He said, on a serious note, respect Mother Nature, be safe, listen to your local authorities. That was his public service announcement after he said all that. And he went surfing.
Yeah, exactly. And showed a picture of him out there. Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. How old is Jimmy Buffett now?
He's not a young man, right?
I think it's pretty cool at his advanced age that he can be out there surfing.
I won't argue with that. Won't argue with you on that one. All right, I want to get to the tweet of the day in this segment, in the huddle. So Tennessee football's official Twitter account tweeted, If you're an evacuee from the Carolinas, we would like to invite you to attend this Saturday's game at Neyland Stadium free of charge. That was very nice of them, right? To which Mongo tweeted a response, haven't those people suffered enough? I'm sorry, Tennessee fans, but that's funny, right?
That is very funny, yes.
Haven't those people suffered enough? I love it. Good job there. Aaron Rodgers, as far as whether he's going to play this weekend for the Green Bay Packers against the Minnesota Vikings, it's still an open question. Mike McCarthy said is, this is no layup. It's a day-to-day situation. I don't know if I like basketball analogies from football coaches. This is no layup. So they don't know. Aaron Rodgers will not practice today. He will try to do more during the rehab portion of his work than he did on Wednesday, according to McCarthy. Rodgers said he would have no issue playing on Sunday without any practice reps. Well, I certainly believe that. I mean, DeShone Kizer with reps or Aaron Rodgers without reps? What do you want?
Yeah, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers without reps. I'm good with that. I think he would be okay.
It's a sprained knee. They haven't really gotten very specific about that, how bad the sprain is. Of course, he missed the final three series in the first half of the Bears game Sunday, then came back in and led the Packers back from 20-0 down to win 24-23, matching the largest comeback of Aaron Rodgers' career. You told me about this. Mike Zimmer is the coach of the Vikings. So they asked Mike Zimmer if he would play, Aaron Rodgers would play in the game. And the quote is this. Zimmer said, yeah, well, you know, he walks on water, so I'm sure he's going to play. Is that okay? Should the Packers put that up on the bulletin board? The pros don't really do bulletin
boards. That's a
little
snarky.
Stuff, it's snarky.
Well,
right?
We don't. I mean, this was a written. Was this an quote?
He actually said something.
So I would love to hear his tone.
I listened to that.
Was
audio.
He just joking around, or was he being?
He had some laughter. There, you could tell. I mean, he was trying to somewhat be funny, but
I think Greg would be a little more sensitive to it because
I'm offended by it.
Yeah. What I've learned in life is that a lot of times people are joking. There's some half truths in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as how they feel.
You can tell anyone anything as long as you're smiling while you're doing it.
I mean, you know what Zimmer is thinking, that Green Bay is going to get him out there if he can walk at all because, you know, it's a conference game and a fairly significant one, even though it's early in the season. So that's what he's thinking. He's just, I mean, he doesn't dare to hope that DeShone Kizer is going to start for the Green Bay Packers this weekend.
Yes.
He doesn't believe that.
He does not believe that Aaron Rodgers is not. And that's basically what he's saying, is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing. That we have seen Aaron Rodgers too many times.
The defense has been alerted to go for the knee.
Yeah, I know. It was Anthony Barr that knocked him out last year from the Vikings. He gets hurt in this game.
Yeah, was it this past year that they implemented the rule? Yeah, it's the new rule that you
can't. Would that have been a penalty?
Well, you can't land with all your weight.
Yeah, I think
that would have been a penalty.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's worth the penalty if you take the quarterback out. Yeah. I'm just saying. It just is.
Especially somebody like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
In your division.
Yes.
Bunch of dirty players, man. Vikings. God, I can't stand the Vikings.
You
Vikings. Cannot stand the Vikings. Ugh. Skull. Whatever.
I do want to go to that stadium, though.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. 844-477-3776. We turn our attention to high school football. Bob Costello with the Greenville News joins us. Hey, Greenville and South Point had a great game last night. Bob covered that. We'll talk to him about it and preview tonight's Thursday night high school football action when we come back next in the huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. Stay with us.